church triumphant is alive and well. This old ship's been through some battles before, storms and tempests and rocks on the shore. Though the hull may be battered, inside it's safe and dry. It will carry its cargo to the port in the sky. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well. Let the church be the church, let the people rejoice, for we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell, for the church triumphant is alive and well. For the church triumphant, the church triumphant is alive and well.
Beautiful home, beautiful land, beautiful place on a faraway strand, beautiful country where my friends have gone. Sorrow and pain, trouble and care, none of these will ever be there. Heaven is waiting now for me.
Beautiful home of pure delight, beautiful home of mansions bright,
and I know I'll live in one someday.
Beautiful sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold,
I will have a beautiful home someday. Beautiful roads, beautiful crowds, glorious singing all around, happy reunion on the golden shore. We'll be there happy and free, satisfied we ever will be, praising our Savior for his love evermore.
Beautiful home of pure delight, beautiful home of mansions bright,
and I know I'll live in one someday.
Beautiful sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold,
I will have a beautiful home someday. I will have a beautiful home, yes, a bright and wonderful home. I will have a beautiful home someday.
Wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings.
Thank you.
still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble, and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside. Looking only unto Jesus, He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble, and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles' wings. I mount up on eagles' wings.
When the Savior bids His children in, only those will go who are saved from sin. Nothing evil there in that land so fair, where the saints and saved abide. All around the throne we'll shout and sing, making melody and praises ring. Cares will pass away on that wondrous day, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside, what a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified.
Won't you come along and join the host?
Jesus gave His life to pay the cost. Hear His banner bear, then His glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide. When we sail across the mystic sea, angels there will welcome you and me. We shall join the song of the ransomed throng on the shining glory side. All our troubles gone forevermore, safely anchored on fair heaven's shore. Happy we shall be, what a jubilee, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside, what a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified.
Won't you come along and join the host?
Jesus gave His life to pay the cost. Hear His banner bear, then His glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide. Soon we'll look upon the Savior's face. We will thank Him for His saving grace. Prostrate we will fall, for He did it all.
we will give our crowns to Him. Then we'll sing and shout forevermore, thankful just to be on that fair shore. When we all get there, heaven we will share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
When the pearly gates swing open wide,
and the Savior says to come inside. What a joyful sound, shouting all around, as the Christ is glorified. Won't you come along and join the host? Jesus gave His life to pay the cost. Here is better bear than His glory share, when the pearly gates swing wide.
Born in poverty's embrace, born in rumor's cold disgrace,
PBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota, and we are live here. It is 2:15 p.m. Central Time, 8/14/2024, and we are most certainly live, and I have a action-packed broadcast for you of many things. I was planning on finishing the I was planning on finishing the outline that I had from one of Dr. Lemoore's books that he had put together, but I got sidetracked a little bit because I started reading one of the other ones that he did research on, a few of the other ones, a number of on the Roman Catholic Church, and that didn't happen. We're going to talk about the Vatican's billions today. Actually, the Vatican's trillions. So, we're actually going to get into that today. And I'm going to give you a number of references that you can check out yourself. And then the next broadcast we do, which I'm guessing might be Monday. I probably won't do one Wednesday, but I might do one on Monday. Because I think next Friday is the state fair, the beginning of the state fair. See, 7 days would be the 21st from. Yep, that's correct. So I don't know if I'll do one on Monday or not. I might. But if I do, it'll cover this topic again. And I've got more where that comes from. There's just an amazing amount of information on this topic that's out there that will help you research it so you can know where to find all this information. And I've got some wonderful quotes, too, from Eric John Phelps' book, Vatican Assassins. Wounded in the House of My Friends. So there's some great quotes there from that too that we'll read today that's, you know, kind of compiles like Dr. Lemoore did. With this. So there's an endless amount of information, right? Never a dull moment. But we are going to talk about the Vatican's billions because I left off with you that video of that archbishop telling me how poor the Vatican was. Remember that? Well, so I started reading this other book on the Jesuits and Black Lives Matters and communism in Rome, and I was like, oh boy, this goes good with what I'm talking about here, and then I'll go back and finish that outline of the Great Harlot. So that's kind of what we're doing. Friday night. No broadcast Friday because Friday night we'll be preaching outside of the Metallica concert. Expect us around 6 p.m. Central Time, Minnesota time. 6 p.m. Central Time. Expect us at that time for preaching. Okay. That would be about what time that'll be on Friday, okay? And then a week from this Saturday starts, actually a week from this Friday, starts the state fair preaching. So, anyway. So much going on. So much. Carl, it is never a good idea to drink 5 energy drinks. That could give you a heart attack. I wouldn't suggest that. All right. Let's see here. We did re-upload this sermon. This sermon is from Sunday out at my house in the backyard. So if you haven't heard this, this is a sermon that you ought to listen to. It's called Walking Worthy of Our Christian Calling. And if you haven't heard it yet, it's from the Ephesians series. I've just, for sake of time, I've been preaching and just, you know, what I believe is powerful. I've just been preaching out of Ephesians. I drink one of those energy drinks a day, but that's all I have is one. I don't know. It doesn't bother me much, but some people are super sensitive. I actually think sometimes espresso is a lot stronger. I don't see how anybody drinks like a ton of those energy drinks anyway. But when I was young, and I was lifting weights and biking, I used to drink two or three of those in a day. But I quit that. I quit that. Yeah, I don't really have that happen too much. Yeah, one is. I don't. When I was younger, I did a lot of stupid stuff, but and I'm not saying any of it's good for you because it isn't. But I have no desire to drink over one of those. But that's probably from a lot of experience. Anyway, but listen to this sermon, Walking Worthy of Our Christian Calling. And the scenery is great. Look. Hey, I disappeared. What happened? There I go. It was a beautiful day out there, though, by the way. Very beautiful day. So, anyway. If you get a chance to listen to that sermon, that's from the Ephesians series. And we're going to get back to the Vatican billions here. But first, we're going to go to the scriptures, Revelation chapter 17. And we are most certainly going to talk about the great whore here and her billions, her trillions. So, Revelation chapter 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So this gold, these precious stones and pearls, they denote her wealth. The great whore's wealth. Okay. They denote the whore's wealth. The Vatican billions. Trillions. So I'm going to start reading here a few excerpts from that and also from many other resources. And when I read from a different resource, I'll share that with you so you can find that yourself. And I'll only charge you $19.99 per broadcast for that extra research information. Okay? All right. Now that we're all in agreement for that, let's move forward. The Vatican Billions by Avril Manhattan. The Vatican has large investments with the Rothschilds of Britain, France, and America, with the Hambros Bank, with the Credit Suisse in London and Zurich. In the United States, it has large investments with the Morgan Bank, the Chase Manhattan Bank, the First National Bank of New York, the Bankers Trust Company, and others. The Vatican has billions of shares in the most powerful international corporations such as Gulf Oil, Shell, General Motors, Bethlehem Steel, General Electric, International Business Machines, TWA, etc. At a conservative estimate, these amount to more than $500 million in the U.S. alone. Now, this would be more like $1 billion or $2 billion today, because this was written probably back in the 90s or early 2000. So you're talking billions they own in the U.S. economy. They own major stock in General Motors, General Electric, Shell Oil, think about that, along with all the banks in America, the large banks. Chase Manhattan and JP Morgan, all of these banking entities ran through their Knight of Malta and their Masonic Jewish orders. But the Vatican has all the money. Has most of the wealth. Has major controlling interests. Somebody asked the question, so is it the Vatican pushing all that DEI? Yes. Absolutely, it's the Vatican pushing it. Through their Masonic orders, their Knight of Malta orders, their papal court Jews that work for them. And they're black and white sellouts. In a statement published in connection with Bond Prospectus, the Boston Archdiocese listed its assets at $635 million. Which is 9.9 times its liabilities. Now, this was back 20 years ago. Now it's in the billions. Do you understand that? It's probably 2 or 3 billion now, not 500 million. It's triple that, at least. It is not difficult to discover the truly astonishing wealth of the church once we add the riches of the 28 archdioceses and 122 dioceses of the USA alone, some of which are even wealthier than that of Boston. Do you understand that they have 122 or more dioceses in the United States? Many of them richer than the Boston one that is worth $1 billion or more. Remember, their wealth in America is probably more like $5 or $6 billion because Trump gave them $3 billion. So actually, if Trump gave them $3 billion to cover their expenses, they're probably worth hundreds of billions in America. Because if each diocese is worth $1 billion and they have 122 billion, 122 dioceses, what is that? Archdiocese, what is that? 122 billion. And that's a conservative figure, friend. They're probably worth anywhere from 100 in the United States alone, 100 to $250 billion. Some idea of the real estate and other forms of wealth controlled by the Catholic Church may be gathered by the remark of a member of the New York Catholic Conference, namely that his church probably ranks second only to the United States government in total annual purchase. Another statement made by a nationally syndicated Catholic priest perhaps is even more telling. He said this: the Catholic Church must be the biggest corporation in the United States. We have a branch office in every neighborhood. Our assets and real estate holdings must exceed those of Standard Oil, AT&T, U.S. Steel combined. And our roster of dues-paying members must be second only to the tax rolls of the United States government. Think about that. The Catholic Church, once all her assets have been put together, is the most formidable stockbroker in the world. The Vatican, independently of each successive pope, has been increasingly oriented towards the U.S. The Wall Street Journal said that the Vatican's financial deals in the U.S. alone were so big that very often it sold or bought gold in lots of $1 million or more at one time. So who's buying up the gold? El Papa. He's buying up the gold. The Vatican is buying the gold. That's who buys the gold. Who owns most of the gold in the world? Well, I would say the Vatican does. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold. The woman is the city. The well-favored harlot. Think about that. The Bible tells you. And the woman was arrayed in purple. And by the way, for all you ding-dongs out there that think it's Israel, you need your head examined. And I question your biblical spiritual intellect. Because Israel has nowhere near what the Vatican has. Nor can it. It is the tail, not the head. Because again, my Bible tells me the Jews have no king but Caesar. And their house is left unto them desolate. Until they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Vatican's treasure of solid gold has been estimated by the United Nations World Magazine to amount to several billion dollars. Understand, when was this? Well, this was written 20 years ago, probably. Let's look at it. Let me see. See if it says when it was originally published. 1983. So 40 years ago, you think they lost any money since then? Think? By the way, there's the full text of Vatican billions right there. Chick Publications, it looks like Chick publishes it. You can get it from them. Right? The Vatican's treasure of solid gold has been estimated by the United Nations World Magazine to amount to several billion dollars. A large bulk of this is stored in gold ingots with the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank, while banks in England and Switzerland hold the rest. But this is just a small portion of the wealth of the Vatican, which in the U.S. alone is greater than that of the five wealthiest giant corporations of the country. When to that is added all the real estate, property, stocks, and shares abroad, then the staggering accumulation of wealth of the Catholic Church becomes so formidable as to defy any rational assessment. By the way, if you're ever looking for books, always check bookfinder.com. If you look on bookfinder.com, you can find used copies of books everywhere. Okay. You think about that. That staggering wealth. Well, the scriptures tell us. And the woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She's a traitor. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Remember these merchants of the earth that work with her, that make her rich. Okay? They make her very wealthy. Oops. There we go. The Catholic Church is the biggest financial power, wealth accumulator, and property owner in existence. She is a greater possessor of material riches than any other single institution, corporation, bank, giant trust, government, or state of the whole globe. The Pope, as the visible ruler of this immense amassment of wealth, is consequently the richest individual of the 20th century, 21st century now, right? No one can realistically assess how much he is worth in terms of billions of dollars, and I would say trillions. Because what is farmland? What is land worth? See, that's what people are always looking at. The, oh, look at the Rothschilds. Look at George Soros. Elon Musk. Okay. So you think the so-called richest man in the world, right? Right? The richest man in the world. That's him. No. That's not the richest man in the world. That is the richest man in the world. You think it's Elon Musk because he's worth $250 billion. No. No. This man in white and gold is the richest man in the world. See, that's the difference. It's not, you're being told the guy on the left is the richest man in the world. You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? They would like you to think so. But I just want to go on record to say the richest man in the world flew over to Rome to see the real richest man in the world. And brought all his sons there. And the reason he brought all his sons there was to stay in the good graces of his Roman Catholic papa. Understand? Understand? full well, don't ever kid yourself. When you go to the Vatican, which I've been there, right? When you go to the Vatican, let's see here. Let me do some. Let me do some monkey in here real quick. There we go. All righty. Tower of London, Vatican. Here we go. When you go to the Vatican, it isn't hard to see the wealth, the treasures. The money. Look at it. Each one of these paintings, these buildings, right? The architecture, all of it. Hey, it's Mary. What's she doing at the Vatican? Oh, yeah, she was there. I forgot. But look. What do you think these all, what do you think the price of all this is? Carl took these pictures. Look at this room. Look at this room. Look at it. The estate alone, just Vatican City. Right? Just Vatican City itself. Look at it. Look at this. See it? Look at that. I think it's Loyola Ad Majorem De Gloria, throwing Luther out of heaven. Look at it. What do you think just the wealth of Vatican City? Just the wealth of Vatican City. alone. Look at it. Look at the gold. Look at the well-favored harlot, right? Billions. By the way, when you go to the Vatican, one thing you'll realize is they definitely have a wall. And illegal immigration is not allowed at the Vatican. No, you don't see any tents on Vatican property. You know, homeless tents. You don't see any homeless tents on Vatican property. No liberty. No freedom of speech. G-men with guns. Security in every room. Right? Just what do you think this costs? Look at this. What do you think the value of this is right here? I'm not sure, Gregory, if those are statues are solid gold or if they're gold plated. There's your keys. Just unreal. Look at that. So you see just in at the Vatican alone. In that basilica alone, what they do with the homeless? Oh, there's no homeless at the Vatican. They wouldn't be allowed to be there. They might be in Italy somewhere, but they wouldn't be allowed to be there. There's a wall. You have to get tickets to get in the Vatican. We had to get tickets to get in the Vatican. You can't just walk in there. Wait, you mean you have to have permission to get in the Vatican? Yeah. And dudes with big M16s, fully automatic weapons. Secret Service guarding. Right? One does not just walk into the Vatican. Mother Ecclesia? One does not just simply walk in. No big white or Italian dudes. It is kind of creepy. It's not kind of creepy. It is creepy. Yeah, what do you think that costs, huh? What do you think the wealth of that is? Yeah, there is a police precinct right there. Right there. See that? Look at it. You just see the wealth of the Vatican. There they are, decked in their expensive clothing, right? Well, yeah, I forgot. I got to send Jamie those. Jamie, did you send me your address? You need to email me your address. I don't think I have it. Send me your address. Message it to me. Maybe you sent it to me on my text message. I've been a little distracted. I've had about 7 children sick over the last 2 months. So it has, my wife's been out of church, was out of church for 2 months ever since we got back from New England. So it hasn't been, it's been kind of crazy. But text me again, Jamie, your address. I think I have it, but I don't know. I probably do. Let me look here. I'll have to check that out. There it is. Oh, I do have it. There it is. All right. I will. Hannah, remind me tonight when we go into church to get that. Nope. I got it, Jamie. I found it. I will get that ready for you tonight, Jamie. Sorry about that, brother. I've just been a little distracted. Okay, Danielle says, okay, fine, ignore my question. How loving. Well, Danielle, I'm really trying not to be rude. I'm really trying. But you really do have the absolute worst communication skills out of anybody I've ever met. It's just, it's unreal. You come on the broadcast and you ask an insulting question. And then you expect everybody to jump on it. Well, when everybody realizes that your question is rude, they just pretty much ignore you. And they don't want to respond to you because you're being rude. So that's why they ignore you. Plain and simple. Anyway, these old pictures have to do with the Vatican's trillions. That's what they have to do with. So most of the people, when they hear you ask a question like that, they won't even respond to it because it sounds like you're being a jerk. Anyway, okay. Amen, Jamie, that's correct. So, you see the ceiling? You see the gold? You can't make this up. If you look at it, you can't make up the wealth that is there. Like how much labor and slaves and stealing did they do around the world? How much they stole from people around the world. Okay? You can't even make it up. Look at that. Ugh. I mean, just for instance, what do you think these portraits sell for? What would they sell? Like, I mean, we know it's all going to burn someday, but you have to understand, there's a lot of money in that. A lot. The doors themselves. What a bunch of weirdos they are. Rome. Bunch of weirdos. Anyway, so no, it's not donated, it's stolen. Most of it has all been stolen. Yeah, we had to cover up the naked people. We had to. Jupiter to get more stupider. No, they can't build like that anymore. You're right. Hey, look, this is the funniest picture ever. This dude like looks like he has the worst. I always say this is Martin Luther with bad indigestion. Like they just put him out there. Oh man, that's funny. Like they just put it up there to mock him, so it's like Martin Luther and he's got like really bad indigestion. So funny. Okay, so I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to play one song, and then we are going to get into a different book, or maybe two songs. But we are going to get into a different book that covers the Vatican's billions, okay, or trillions in this case. Okay.
had much in this world below, but I'm going to a city where the streets are pure gold. Christ made me an heir, I'm a child of the King. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory, his praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
I'm depending on heaven for my home in the sky. Already I'm heading for that sweet by and by. I've been adopted and placed with a king. So shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you.
He cares about you.
Of all glory, his praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
He's the King of all glory.
He's the King of all glory.
His praises I'll sing.
His praises I'll sing.
Shake hands with a poor boy
who owns everything.
Owns everything.
Whoa, I don't know what that was. It cut me off for a second, then put it back on. I don't know what happened there. That's some crazy stuff, whatever that was. Anyway, let's try one more song here, and then we will get right into it again.
Once in the stillness of a late midnight hour, I felt the presence of the Lord's saving power. Then I fell on my knees and I cried to him there.
I cried to him there.
Oh, merciful Savior, hear this lost sinner's prayer. Well, every hour of every day.
He's the rock of my soul.
He's the rock of my soul.
I'm singing his praises wherever I go.
Wherever I go.
I'll never forget
that sweet night on my knees.
The joy of that
hour has never left me.
'Tis life's sweetest memories
that time can erase.
I'm saved by his
mercy, and I'm redeemed by his grace.
Well, every
hour of every day,
and every moment,
and in every way,
I'm leaning on Jesus.
He's the rock of my soul.
He's the rock of my soul.
I'm singing his praises wherever I go.
Amen. Okay, the next book we're going to cover in the Vatican's trillions is The Vicars of Christ, The Dark Side of the Papacy, Peter De Rosa. Okay. De Rosa, Prayers for Pagans and Hypocrites, Father Under Fire. De Rosa calls himself a patriotic Catholic, assumes the mantle of devil's advocate for this exhaustive, ferocious indictment of sin in the papacy. Citing Lord Acton on the dangers of absolutism. Lord Acton said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. De Rosa snaps angrily at perceived abuses of papal power. Papal infallibility, Vatican riches. Before settling down to a long, rigorous, impassioned history of papal iniquities or inequities. Many pontiffs were libertines, murderers, adulterers, warmongers, tyrants, simoniacs. Among them, John the 12th, who liked to toast the devil and kept a harem in the papal palace. Think about that for a second. Who burned the poorest of Christ poor and died the richest man in the world. Turning from physical to ideological corruption, De Rosa tracks the church's penchant for muzzling dissent. From early persecutions of the Jews through the trial of Galileo to John Paul II, censuring of dissident theologian Hans Kung and Schillebeck. Controversial recent church teachings, the dogmas of Immaculate Conception and the assumption, humanae vitae, right to life arguments are scrutinized with an eye for contradiction and hypocrisy. Here too, the popes take their lumps. Pius XI was capable of squaring the circle. Paul VI is sarcastically referred to as Hamlet. The only pontiff to avoid De Rosa's fulminations is John the 23rd. Whom he venerates with high-pitched praise as a rainbow in the night. So, De Rosa is controlled opposition, of course. Brilliant scholarship, sinewy writing, and blazing moral fervor will not overcome the objections of some who will accuse De Rosa, an ex-Jesuit, of fermenting sour grapes. Otherwise, including some anti-Catholics, will savor this like fine wine. Whatever the palate, no one will mistake this very potent brew for soda pop. That was Dr. Lamour's take on it. Then we have another book called The Vatican Exposed, Money, Murder, and Mafia. This is by Paul Williams. Okay. Here it is. Over $50 billion in securities, gold reserves that exceed those of industrialized nations, real estate holdings that equal the total area of many countries, opulent palaces containing the world's greatest art treasures. Those are some of the riches of the Roman Catholic Church. Listen to this. This is interesting. Remember, 1929 is the great stock crash put on by the Pope's Masonic court jester Jews. The world's greatest art treasures, these are some of the riches of the Roman Catholic Church. Yet in 1929, the Vatican was destitute. Pope Pius XI, living in a damaged, leaky, pigeon-infested Lateran palace, could hear rats scurrying through the walls. And he worried about how he would pay for even basic repairs to unclog the overburdened sewer lines and update the antiquated heating system. How did the church manage in less than 75 years such an incredible reversal of fortune? The story here told by church historian Paul Williams is intriguing, shocking, and outrageous. The turnaround began on February 11, 1929, with the signing of the Lateran Treaty between the Vatican and fascist leader Benito Mussolini. Through this deal, Mussolini gained the support of the staunchly Catholic Italian populace, who at the time followed the lead of the church. In return, The church received, among other benefits, a payment of $90 million. Sovereign status for the Vatican. Tax-free property rights. And guaranteed salaries for all priests throughout the country. From the Italian government, with the stroke of a pen, the Pope had solved the Vatican's budgetary woes practically overnight. Yet he also put a great religious institution in league with some of the darkest forces of the 20th century. You mean he took his lead over them? See, that's not the first time the Vatican has been without money. Or the Jesuits without money, I should say. Because the Pope suppressed the Jesuits, and one Jesuit started the Bavarian Illuminati and made a deal with the Rothschilds, a bank, and J.P. Morgan and others. And wherever they go, whoever they make a deal with, they control. The Pope's made a deal with Muhammad. They control Islam. The Pope made a deal with the Jewish bankers. And they control. Wherever they are, they control. Based on his years of experience as a consultant for the FBI, Williams produces explosive and never-before-published evidence of the church's morally questionable financial dealings with sinister organizations over seven decades through today. He examined the means by which the Vatican accrued enormous wealth during the Great Depression by investing in Mussolini's government, the connection between Nazi gold and the Vatican Bank, the vast range of church holdings in the post-war boom period, Paul VI's appointment of mafia chieftain Michele Sindona as the Vatican banker, a $1 billion counterfeit stock fraud uncovered by Interpol and the FBI, the Ambrosino affair called the greatest financial scandal of the 20th century, and by the New York Times, the mysterious death of John Paul I, profits from an international drug ring operating out of Gdansk, Poland, and revelation about current dealings. Right. Who runs the drug trafficking? The cartels. The Pope. The Jesuits. Their Knights of Malta. Who runs the southern border of the United States? The Pope. For both Catholics and non-Catholics, this troubling expose of corruption is one of the most revered religious institutions in the world. That's Wikipedia saying that. Will serve as an urgent call for reform. There's another book. Called God's Bankers. A deeply rooted New York Times best-selling expose of the money and the clerics turned financiers at the heart of the Vatican. The world's biggest, most powerful religious institution. From an acclaimed journalist with exhaustive research techniques. From a master chronicle of legal and financial misconduct, a magnificent investigation 9 years in the making, God's Bankers traces the political intrigue of the Catholic Church in a meticulous work that cracks wide open the Vatican's legendary enabling secrecy. Decidedly not about faith, belief in God, or religious doctrine, This book is about the church's accumulation of wealth and its Byzantine financial entanglements across the world. Told through 200 years of prelates, bishops, cardinals, and popes who oversee it all. Gerald Posner uncovers an eyebrow-raising account of money and power in one of the world's most influential organizations. God's Bankers has it all, a revelatory and an outstanding saga marked by poisoned business titans, murdered prosecutors, and mysterious deaths written off as suicides. A carnival of characters from popes and cardinals, financiers and mobsters, kings and prime ministers, and a set of moral and political circumstances that clarify not only the church's aims and ambitions, but reflect the larger tensions of most recent history. And Posner even looks to the future to surmise if Pope Francis can succeed where all his predecessors failed, to overcome the resistance to change in the Vatican's Machiavellian inner court, and to rein in the excess of its seemingly uncontrollable financial quagmire. This book reveals with extraordinary precision how the Vatican has evolved from a foundation of faith to a corporation, of extreme wealth and power. The Vatican Connection is another work. The true story of a billion-dollar conspiracy between the Catholic Church and the Mafia, which I'm going to read you some quotes from Eric John Phelps. With a round, open face and paunch for all tales, Matteo De Lorenzo resembled everyone's kindly uncle, but Uncle Marty, as he was known throughout the Genovese crime family, was one of the New York mob's top earners throughout the 1960s and 70s. The mastermind of a billion-dollar trade in stolen and counterfeit securities. In the spring of 1972, De Lorenzo and his shrewd and ruthless business partner, Vincent Rizzo, traveled to Europe to discuss a plan to launder millions of dollars worth of phony securities. Shockingly, the plot involved Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, the scandal-plagued president of the Vatican Bank. Unbeknownst to De Lorenzo and Rizzo, however, the NYPD was already on the case thanks to the crusading work of Detective Joseph Coffey. Coffey, the legendary New York policeman who investigated the Lufthansa heist and took the Son of Sam's confession, first learned of the scheme in a wiretap related to the attempted mob takeover of the Playboy Club in Manhattan. From those unlikely beginnings, Detective Coffey worked tirelessly to trace the fraudulent stocks and bonds around the world and deep into the corridors of power in Washington, D.C. and Rome. Meticulously researched and relentlessly gripping, the Vatican Connections is a true story of corruption, deceit, packed with all the ingredients of a thriller, said the San Francisco Chronicle. That book is called The Vatican Connections. Right there. Okay. The next book that covers the fortune of the Vatican, called The Jesuit Conspiracy. Right there. Monsignor Leone's expose of the Jesuit secret plan of domination took the 19th century by a storm. Was Jacopo Leone a sincere clerical whistleblower? Let the damage of his work speak for itself. Were he an agent of the papacy or of the Company of Loyola itself, it wouldn't be the first time Rome overplayed her hand of disclosing truth in an effort to divert or distract. It is certainly plausible that Father Leon arrived at the Santa Margherita Chiar Monastery desiring nothing more than to take his service to the next and perhaps the ultimate level as a Jesuit, only to be shocked to learn that the most powerful, dedicated order in the Catholic Church was neither benign nor Christian. The machinists that were exposed to him shocked him into action. He must expose this terrible insurgency. The inversely named Society of Jesus isn't a renegade cloister. It is the ultimate expression of Catholic domination. The agenda of Loyola is the agenda of Rome, to subjugate all humanity, body and soul, under the authority of the successor of St. Peter. And if that successor proves unworthy of his office, he too is removed by any means necessary. As you examine Monsignor Leon's claims, how the Jesuits control from Corsica to China, you will draw the same conclusion. They are simply taking the agenda of the fourth and final beast, the great harlot of Babylon, to its ultimate conclusion. Giovanni Johnny Cerici, former Marine, Army officer, and Iraq war veteran, author and researcher of the Vatican history and intergovernment manipulation. General Lorenzo Ricci, 18th Superior General of the Society of Jesus, on a request from the French King Louis XV to change the structure of the Jesuits in recognition of the newly formed Gallican Church recognized by the French state, replied, "Let them be as they are, or not be at all." The Abate Leone's work on exposing the Sunzhusian grand plans of the Jesuits gave one great insight into the current geopolitical landscape of the 21st century. Knowing that the Jesuits themselves say that they never will change, the grand plot for world conquest exposed by the Abate Leone becomes a necessary read for understanding the current paradigm. The ambitions of the Jesuits are boundless, as Claudio Acquaviva, 5th Superior General, said. Why are there not regions beyond the stars that one might be able to conquer other worlds than that pertaining to Earth? Eric Bowman, self-educated scholar and author of the Vatican Geopolitical Research. So we're going to stop there with that. And we're going to pick up in Vatican Assassins. Quotes from Vatican Assassins on the Vatican's billions. I think it's VaticanAssassins.com. Let's see if it's .com. Might be .org. It definitely doesn't want to pull it up for some reason, which doesn't surprise me. And if you go to VaticanAssassins.org or whatever his website is, I can't find it. 24/7 World Radio, I think, is another one that you can find it. That's crazy. That's the actual paperback. I should buy that. I don't know which version that is, though. Anyway. So this is a quote from Avro Manhattan, that first one that I... Protestant Knight of Malta, English papal historian, the Vatican Billions. The Opus Dei, born in 1928, is a semi-secret religious lay order, which includes, by the way, Mel Gibson, whose paramount objective is total support of the papacy. It is controlled by the high-level Freemason and Jesuit general, Kolvenbach, and of the most conservative principles of the Catholic Church, the Council of Trent. Its members have dedicated themselves with their personal and corporate wealth to be the blind instruments of the church. They give all their money, everything they have, their finances, their wealth, to Rome. Here's the Jesuit general, 1825. He says this: doubtless you have not forgotten our ancient Paraguay, in which we mastered our ancient Paraguay. It was but a very timid trial of our system in a small corner of the globe. In these latter days, right? He talked about that. Now, Eric John Phelps fills in the blanks. Paraguay was when they enslaved the Indian people and stole their property, in which they mastered the 10 plagues of communism, perfecting Plato's communist republic, enslaving hundreds of thousands of Guarani Indian natives who produced a host of commodities, hides and wool and tallow, making billions for the Jesuit cartel capitalists, while the natives were being continually watched by means of a secret police, FBI, Gestapo, KGB type, on the order's socialist communist reductions, presently functioning as a model for Red China. See how much money they made. All for the Pope's control. How about this? Here's another quote. The Archbishop's stock market was being deliberately inflated via an extreme extension of credit through the company's Federal Reserve Bank, creating the illusion of wealth in preparation for the Great Depression. To control the coming financial debacle and thus transfer of billions of dollars in Protestant and Jewish assets and infrastructure into Vatican hands. In 1927, the Archbishop would establish the American tongue of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, composing the wealthiest Roman Catholic businessmen in the empire, including Joseph P. Kennedy, the man who caused the stock market crash of 1929. Remember, what did we say about that year, 1929? That's when Mussolini and the Pope made the deal. Crashing the market. Hayes would use his Shriner FDR to give clear title of the nation's gold to the Pope's Federal Reserve Bank and to formally recognize the order's communist inquisitional government of Joseph Stalin in building the destroyer of apostate Protestant Prussia and later the destroyer of apostate Protestant America. Working together with all these Knights of Malta, become very rich, very wealthy, and to steal the wealth of America, and to steal the wealth of the Jews. That's what they did. That's how they operated. He goes on to talk about the plunders of the Hog Island and emergency fleet under E.N. Hurley are matters of congressional record, which mounted up into the millions. Mr. Hurley is a Roman Catholic and Knight of Columbus. the aircraft scandal under the supervision of John M. Ryan, an ardent Roman Catholic and fourth degree Knight of Columbus, ran into the billions and was also subject to investigation. One of the aims of the Knight of Columbus to restore the temporal power of the Pope. Money. They kept giving him money. All their schemes, right? How about this? Mafioso, Italian Roman Catholic, Charles Lucky Luciano, the brazen beast of a wicked man, was convicted of compulsory prostitution and sentenced from 30 to 50 years in New York's Clinton State Prison, the Siberia of all American penitentiaries. From Great Meadow Prison, he was pardoned and deported in 1946 through the power of Archbishop Francis Cardinal Spellman. The funeral of Charles Lucky Luciano in 1962. Listen to this. Luciano's elaborate funeral in Naples, Italy, 1962, included a hearse carved in silver and black SS colors and drawn by 8 black horses. This Italian alien, aided by his financial Jew boy and faithful subordinate Meyer Lansky, and ruling America's waterfronts via the Teamsters, orchestrated his mafia with FDR's Office of Naval Intelligence in securing a safe landing during the Allied invasion of Sicily. In truth, this partnership made billions for the Vatican through the Pope's iniquitous partner, black market. The Mafia, ONI, CIA, FBI alliance would later assassinate President Kennedy as ordered by Francis Cardinal Spellman, who in turn always had the blessing of the Papal Caesar in Rome. So Luciano runs some of the mob families there. Luciano is running it. Luciano is at this time is making money for the Pope. They're funneling money. Why do you think he got it? Luciano was freed and pardoned and sent to Italy? Because he was working for the Pope. Making the Pope's billions through the FBI, the CIA, the naval intelligence controlling the docks. Funneling money and drugs. That was the deal. Naval Captain Roscoe C. McFall, Irish Papal Knight McFall, 3rd Naval District Intelligence Officer, bore the overall responsibility for the Luciano Project, dubbed Operation Underworld. Moved from Clinton Prison to Great Meadow Prison in 1942, FDR's Office of Naval Intelligence, as well as Army Intelligence and the Office of Strategic Services, worked with Luciano's Sicilian International Crime Syndicate during World War II. This same network would be perfected during the Pope's Cold War and thus assassinate JFK for attempting to break its power. 2 naval officers complicit in Kennedy's murder was Rear Admiral Edward C. Kenney, Surgeon General of the Navy, and Rear Admiral George G. Berkeley, JFK's physician, who in 1985 told author Henry Hurt that JFK's death was due to a conspiracy. All about money. Louis T. McFadden, Pennsylvania U.S. Congressman, Chairman, Committee on Banking and Currency, said this in 1931. The usurpation of authority has already gone far. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York, with the permission of the Federal Reserve Board at Washington, has placed billions of dollars of credit at the disposal of New York banks, which is Morgan and Rockefeller owned, New York banks, to be loaned abroad by discounting foreign acceptances and permitting foreign loans of all kinds to be made without the authorization of the United States Treasury. If the powers which is now exercising over credit in the United States are permitted or are to be permitted by statute, then it is within the discretion of the Federal Reserve Board, if it so chooses, to shift the entire monetary wealth of the American people to the uses of foreigners. And who is he talking about? None other than the Black Pope. See, that's who he was talking about. Because they were controlling everything. It's all about the money. Okay, you ready? The celebrated house of the Rothschilds, who incidentally had been lending money to the Vatican since 1831, came once more to the fore with the buying, selling, and amalgamating of millions of shares and other investments on behalf of the Vatican, as did Nathan Rothschild when in 1815, as an agent for the suppressed Jesuit order, he essentially bought the London Stock Exchange, it having crashed due to the false report via Roost of Wellington's defeat at Waterloo. Is it interesting to remember that the president of the French Republic, Mr. Georges Pompidou, for many years worked for the private bank de Paris of the Rothschilds. The Vatican, as we have already reiterated, has large investments with the Rothschilds of Britain, France, and America, with the Hambros Bank, with the Credit Suisse in London and Zurich. In the United States, it has a large investment with the Morgan Bank, Chase Manhattan, First National Bank, and others. The Vatican's treasure of solid gold has been estimated by the United Nations World Magazine to amount to several billion dollars. A large bulk of this is stored in gold ingots with the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank, while banks in England, Switzerland hold the rest. Listen to this. The international German bankers, Hajimal Schott and Baron Kurt von Schroeder, the close friend of Knight of Malta, Franz von Papen, having subsidized the present government of Germany, and they have also supplied every dollar of the money that Adolf Hitler has used in his lavish campaign to build up a threat to the government headed by the Roman Catholic Heinrich Brüning. They conceived the idea of robbing us by stealth, by fraud, by trickery, and they have succeeded. Through the Federal Reserve Board at the Federal Reserve Banks, over 30 billions of American money over and above the German bonds that have been sold here has been pumped into Germany. Yep. A Federal Reserve note is an obligation of the United States. Here, you have a banking system that has financed Germany from start to finish. Also, do you know that Germany had been lending our money to Soviet Russia as fast as she could get it out of the country from the Federal Reserve boards and banks? Do you know she is the author of the 5-year plan that she armed and supplied Soviet Russia with our money? Do you know that Germany and the Soviet Russia are one in military and industrial matters? Do you know that Germany is well-armed and that we paid for her rifles, her SS uniforms, and her commercial trucks, which can be converted for military uses inside 24 hours? She leads the world in aviation. Why not, when the Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve Banks have been secretly financing her for years? That's history. What happened back then? Listen to this. You want to hear something historical? Here you go. Your Grace, I write to you as a man, to man. He's a Pope worshiping Roman Catholic, though. Christian, to another Pope worshiping Roman Catholic. For fully 10 months now, however, the Serbs in Croatia are being exterminated in a most beastly manner, with billions of their property subjected to destruction, while the face of an honorable Croat blushes with shame and anger. Since the day of the independent Croatian state, the Serbs have been massacred, and this massacring has continued to this day. This was written, obviously, back then. They were exterminating them, and they were stealing billions of dollars worth of their land. What are these wars about? Money. They're about money. Money, power, control. These atrocities do not amount to simple killings alone. They aim at the extermination of every Serb, men, women, and children, and with terribly wild tortures of the victims. These innocent Serbs were stuck on poles alive and fires built on their bare chests. Literally, they were roasted alive, being burned to death in their homes and in their churches. In many cases, boiling water was poured on living victims before their mutilation. Their flesh was salted, and their eyes gouged out while they were still living. Their ears and noses were lopped off. And their tongues cut out, as did the order's Spanish and Roman inquisitors for centuries. The beards and mustaches of clergy, together with their skin, were ripped off by knives, while the victims' sex organs were cut off and stuffed into their mouths. Some were tied to trucks and dragged, while other victims had their arms and legs broken and their heads spiked, being common to the merciless Roman savagery of both Caesar's Roman Empire and Papal Caesar's Holy Roman Empire. This is what they did to them. Their heads were smashed by crowbars. Many were thrown into deep cisterns and caves and then literally bombed to pieces. Their children were thrown into fire and scalding water and then fed to the fired lime furnaces. Other children were torn apart by the legs. Their heads were crushed against walls, as did the Jesuits' SS's, pursuant to the order's extreme oath of induction. And their spines were broken against rocks. These are the other methods of torture were employed against the Serbs. Tortures which normal people cannot conceive, as only Jesuits under extreme oath can conceive. Thousands upon thousands of Serbian bodies floated down the Sava, Drava, and Danube rivers and their tributaries. Many of these bodies bore tags, direction, Belgrade to King Peter. In one boat on the Save, there were a pile of children's heads with a woman's head, presumably that of the mother of the children, labeled meat for Jovan's market, meaning for the Serbian market. That's what they did to them. I'm not going to read any more deeper than that. But that's Rome. And they stole that land. Right? They stole their possessions and they stole their land and murdered them and robbed them and killed them and beat them and tortured them. Let's see. John M. Ryan, ardent Roman Catholic and Fourth Degree Knight of Columbus, ran into billions and was also subject of investigation. What did they do? They stole billions. Of the Jesuits Federal Reserve Bank financing Adolf Hitler, we read this. Immense sums belonging to our national bank depositors have been given to Germany on no collateral security whatever. Billions upon billions of our money have been pumped into Germany by the Federal Reserve Board of the Federal Reserve Banks. On April 27, 1932, the Federal Reserve outfit sent $750,000 belonging to American bank depositors in gold to Germany. A week later, another $300,000 in gold was shipped to Germany in the same way. About the middle of May, $12 million in gold was shipped to Germany by the Federal Reserve Banks. Almost every week, there's a shipment of gold to Germany. The Jesuits using the Knight of Malta, Franz von Papen, brought Hitler to power, and Roman Catholic Jesuit ruled Bavaria's Third Reich. They funded it. They funded it. Let's see. Rome extirpated millions of heretics and liberals and made untold billions to boot off of it. Ben Hecht, 1954, American Jewish playwright, said this. FDR's ambassador to the court of St. James, Archbishop Francis Spellman's most powerful Knight of Malta, fitly of Hollywood's leading Jewish movie. Joseph Kennedy had spoken to 50 of Hollywood's leading Jewish movie makers in a secret meeting in 1941 in one of their homes. He had told them sternly that they must not protest as Jews and that they must keep their Jewish rage against the Germans out of print. What does that prove? Evidencing that Hollywood's Masonic Jewish labor Zionist movie producers made billions for the order. As a result of Kennedy's cry for silence, all of Hollywood's top Jews went around with their grief hidden like a Jewish fox under the Gentile vests. They hid it all for money. Avril Manhattan said this, this Protestant, this Knight of Malta, he said this, the Jesuits are one of the largest stockholders in the American Steel Company, Republican National. They are also among the most important owners of the four greatest aircraft manufacturing companies in the U.S., Boeing, Lockheed, Douglas, and Curtiss Wright. There you go. They own most of it. Why do you think Lockheed and their accidents and everything else that took place? All that stuff. No one gets prosecuted. President Kennedy, here's another quote from Vatican Assassins. President Kennedy began to prosecute powerful mafia dons. He sought to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces, and he began to end Cardinal Spellman's crusade in the Far East, the Vietnam War. Clearly, the usurper and tyrant Kennedy, although the son of the Catholic Church, had to go. And which banks were used to launder the billions from this terrible drug trade? Among the big league financial houses cited in the commission's report for washing hot money were Chemical Bank, J. Peter Grace Jr.'s favorite, Chase Manhattan Bank. There you go. For aiding in the order's Eurasian Jewish Holocaust, as well as the Orthodox and Lutheran Holocaust, Israel would be given a paramount intelligence apparatus and billions of dollars extorted from historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant nations, further eliminating the reformed white peoples of the world. The same hold true for the Frankists backing Rome's war on terror. Rome's kingdom of Jerusalem will benefit, overseen by her labor Zionists, until Jesus Christ returns when the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. True story. You have to be able to separate the Jewish people from the Vatican-ran labor Zionist government. Just like here. You have to be able to separate us from the United States government that wants to go cause war everywhere and us who don't want to fight in wars and don't want to kill people. The other CFR Knight of Malta was Gustavo Cisneros, whom we read in 1987, vice president of the Venezuelan Association of SMOM. The Cisneroses are the overlords of the Ibero-American cocaine connection in Venezuela, whose special role emphasizes washing part of the billions in annual narcotic proceeds to go through that country. The Cisneros got their start in business in Venezuela through sponsorship of the Royal Bank of Canada, one of the world's largest offshore banks involved in multi-billion dollar drug money washing. They are partners in a Florida finance corporation with documented ties to Moscow, Narodny Bank, who is central to KGB-backed terrorism and drug trafficking. Curiously, though, the World Finance Corporation, the Cisneros, are linked to the Bay of Pigs invasion team, which quickly turned to drug traffickers to finance operations to get rich quick. But Oswaldo Cisneros' wife, Ella Fontanals de Cisneros, is a Cuban whose brother, Jose Fontanals Perez, currently sits on the board of directors at Banco Nacional de Cuba in Havana. Here is an economic advisor to... where he is an economic advisor to Fidel Castro. They're all connected. Up to 1964, Spellman had built 130 new Catholic schools. Cardinal Francis Spellman. 37 churches and 5 big hospitals. In furthering the order's quest of making America Catholic, he spent $90 million a year on construction. In 1960, a survey of the financial magazine Fortune estimated that his Catholic charities were worth $50 million a year, and his schools another $22 million, which schools Knight of Columbus John F. Kennedy refused to subsidize in accordance with the Cardinal's voucher plan, later approved by Skull and Bonesman George W. Bush. Spellman used to bring the Pope $1 million in Peter Pence's annual. This was collected usually in all New York churches in January of each year. Again, according to the authoritative Fortune, in 1960, the revenues and collections of Spellman's archdiocese totaled about $150 million a year. No wonder that in the Vatican itself, Spellman had been nicknamed Cardinal Moneybag, then ruling his Masonic Rockefeller empire, including the Texas oil industry, one of its moguls being Masonic JFK assassin Clint Murchison Sr. Remember, Lockheed and Boeing, they're awarded billion-dollar military contracts through the Black Pope's up-and-coming crusade of World War II, the Pope's CFR-ruled American government, right? Center of Foreign Relations or Council of Foreign Relations, excuse me. I mean, we can go on and on and on with money connections. We really could. But we're coming up out of time here. But so many. Here's another one. As a result of the Vietnam War, his order would make billions through its Federal Reserve Bank, its military industrial complex, and its international drug trade. Through the Cold War and through the space race. The orders international banks, says Eric John Phelps, would launder its massive profits of the drug trade, further building the Black Pope's international crime syndicate and terrorist network overseen by the CIA. I mean, man, there's so much evidence to that. Anyway, you can see all this in those different... places, okay? Those different connections. And boy, are they something. But that's the Vatican billions. trillions, excuse me. And they have it. They have it all. In this life, anyway. But one day,
the burden of sin has been lifted.
As far as east is from west, they're buried without remembrance in God's sea of forgetfulness. I've been to Calvary's fountain. My name is written above. When Satan rouses accusations, I tell him they're under the blood.
They're under the blood.
They're under the blood. They're under the blood. Christ did for me what I could not do. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. Just like the Passover in Egypt's land, it took the blood to save men. Washed and made clean, I'm justified when God sees the blood. The prophets of old line the home shore. Their faith through the ages the three. They've waited so long for the moment, the crowning of Jesus the King.
There's
Daniel, Elijah, and Noah. They talk of the fire and the blood. And if they ask how I made it, I tell them I came through the blood.
I came through the blood.
Christ did for me what I could not do. They're under the blood, they're under the blood. Just like the Passover in Egypt's land, it took the blood to save man. Washed and made clean, I'm justified when God sees the blood. Washed and made clean, I'm justified when God sees the blood.
All right, everybody, I am not sure about Friday. I don't think I'm not doing a broadcast this Friday, but we are going to be broadcasting our live out on the street, 6 p.m. Minnesota time, 6 p.m. Central time. We'll be preaching the Metallica concert. Then we'll be preaching late. We'll preach the out crowd too. Okay? So you pray for us that God would strengthen us and help us through all of these things. Now, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can do so through PayPal. That is, the address is salvationpreacher@gmail.com. That's salvationpreacher@gmail.com. And also, if you'd like to do Apple Pay or Venmo, that's pastorcooley@icloud.com. If you'd like to do Cash App or any of those others, you may do that. Or you can mail us something at the bottom of the screen. Our address on Sermon Audio here shows it. It is 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. All right? Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. And by the way, if you want to tune in tonight, I'll be preaching in about 3.5 hours, 3 hours and 45 minutes from now. I'll be preaching in the book of Ephesians. The sermon is titled "The Spirit of Unity versus Unity." The Spirit of Unity versus Unity of the Spirit. There's a difference. So tune in live to hear that or catch the replay. All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care, and we'll see you soon.